Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Okay, so today we're going to be looking at Melachas of Shabbos. This is part 3 of Siman Pei, the 80th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is the longest section in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch by far, with 93 different sefim. We're going through the third part today, and we're going to be looking at seven different melachas. We're looking at the melacha of melaben, which is cleaning, sover, which is dyeing, oreg, which is weaving, kosher, and matir, which is tying and untying, and tofer and korea, which is sewing and unsewing or ripping. Let's jump straight in. Our first melacha is the melacha of melaben, which is cleaning. Remember, by the way, that we're not doing every melacha of the 39, but we're taking the ones that the Kitzur has outlined for us, which he has identified as the most practical applications in our life. Again, this is a simple survey. It is an overview. It's not going to and will not serve as an exhaustive list, but this is at least to get us going and appreciate this. So in our part 3, melaben is the 13th of the Avos Melachos on Shabbos. And melaben literally means cleaning. This is done in the preparation of wool. So wool would be sheared, and then it would need to be cleaned. There are three different subsections of cleaning. One is soaking. So one would soak the wool and allow that to be a cleansing process. The other one is scrubbing it. And the other one is squeezing it, schitta. It's worthwhile noting that the word schitta, to squeeze, can be a subsection, a tolda of melaben, of cleaning. And it could also be a subsection of dosh, depending on which is threshing. So depending on whether I want the liquid that comes out or not, it would actually be a different melacha with different rules. Let's jump straight into melaben. There's a lot of very interesting details here. So if I have dirt on a garment, can I wipe it off? The answer is I may wipe dirt off my clothes, but I need to do it gently. That would be all right. May I add some water? The answer is no. And this most people don't know. I guarantee that most people don't know the halachas of melaben, of cleaning, so well. And a lot of people make mistakes with this because they just think, oh, it's just a splash. I'll put a little bit of water. No, you can't put water onto a stain that's just happened on Shabbos. What happens if a child urinates on my clothing? So on clothing, one cannot add water, but let's say they urinated on one's shoes. On leather, one can add water, but one cannot rub, no shif shuf. But on hard substances, let's say they urinated on the floor, it's on tiles. In that case, you can add water, you can even rub it as well. That's not considered cleaning in the same way because it's not like the water is becoming part of the substance and removing it. It was actually surface level as opposed to clothes, which is a real issue. Is there a problem drying one's hands? So on a colored towel, there's no problem. But on a white towel, the Kitzur suggests shaking off a little bit of water so one is not soaking the towel in water, because in that process, if it's a white towel, adding water to it is a cleansing process itself as well. Is there a problem covering barrels of the cloth? In the old days, they would have barrels filled with different liquids and they would stretch out a cloth on the top to protect it so nothing would fall into it. So if it was a cloth which was made for that specific barrel, no problem at all. If it's a cloth which is not made for that barrel, if it's a barrel, let's say, of wine, no problem. But if it's a barrel of water, it is a problem, because if the cloth falls in, one may come to, so first of all, it's going to get soaked, and then I'm going to come to squeeze it as well. If I have a spill on the table, may I wipe it up? The answer is yes, but only with a cloth that one does not care about. One pulls out like a rag, a towel that one doesn't use as a hand towel, then in that case, one doesn't have an issue. But if one's going to have a cloth, which one would cares about, one may end up squeezing it out. That's a problem. What happens if there's a spill on the actual tablecloth itself? So if there's a spill on the tablecloth, then one can remove it, but it has to be done carefully so one doesn't squeeze it out. Squeezing is one of those subsections of cleaning. Can I dry dishes? Yes, you can dry dishes. The water is surface level. It's not actually absorbed into the dish, but one has to be careful when one is cleaning utensils which have narrow necks, because by doing so, I'm putting the towel through that narrow neck and it's going to squeeze that towel out. If it's raining, can I walk out in the rain? The answer is yes. One may walk out in the rain on Shabbos. It's not considered cleaning one's clothes. Can I spread out the wet clothes afterwards? The answer is no. because that would make it seem like one is laundering them. One can hang them up as one would hang up regular clothes, but one cannot spread them out, and certainly not in front of something, a hot area like the furnace, because it's going to bring the water droplets to Yad Soledus, to a point where it's hot enough to be considered cooking those water droplets, and that's a problem as well. Can I just shake out the coat? The answer is no, you're not allowed to shake water out of a coat. That is considered cleaning. What happens if it's a suit I'm really makbid on not to get wet? So it's like, I did not expect the rain. It rained, and I really don't like it. So in this case, one may not even touch it. It becomes worse. It becomes mukta because of the concern that one may squeeze it, and therefore one may not. Once one removes it, one cannot even touch it there afterwards. What happens if I come to a stream? What should I do? So one cannot walk. One cannot cross through it and get wet because that's going to be cleaning one's garments. But when one may come to squeeze, one should preferably step over or jump over it rather than walking all the way around. Generally on Shabbos, the halacha is that poisim ba pesia ketana, you're only supposed to take small steps, not large steps. But if by taking a large step will save me having to walk all the way upstream to cross at another point, it would be better to take a large step rather than that long detour. What if there's no way around it? So then one cannot go through it on Shabbos. So if that's the case, then one just can't walk that way. What happens if I'm walking towards a Devar Mitzvah? So let's say I'm going to Shul, I'm going to hear a visiting Rav to hear a Torah. In that case, one is allowed to walk through that stream if there's no alternative. And one just has to be careful to walk through the shinui, like let's say putting one's hand in one's shirt, in a way that while one's walking through, to remind oneself not to squeeze out one's garments when one gets through. May I return through that same stream? The answer is yes, because if one goes to do a mitzvah, one can return as well. What happens if it isn't a mitzvah? It's just to oversee my assets to make sure that they're protected. In that case, it's considered a tzorech ksas, a little bit of a need in that case, and a person may cross the stream again using the shinui, but one cannot return. What if there is mud on my suit? May I remove the mud? So if it's wet, one can use, let's say, a knife or a fingernail to sort of like just go underneath it to remove it. But once it's dry, one cannot scratch it off because that leads to toichen, which is grinding that mud. One breaks it into little pieces. That's a problem on Shabbos. Most people have no idea about this. This is just basics in the halachos of Malabin and toichen. But I just see people doing this all the time, but this is really an important thing to be aware of. One is allowed to bend the garment under the dry mud, so one can bend the garment in such a way that the mud comes off, but that would be allowed, but one cannot scratch it off. What happens if I have a black coat and it's covered with dust or snow? May I shake it off? The answer is no. That is considered melaben, that is considered cleaning. What happens if it has a feather on it or feathers? One can remove the feathers because the feathers are not considered mixed into the garment. What happens if there's mud on my boot? So one can scrape it off. Let's say you scrape it off on a beam. One should be careful not to scrape it on the ground, because if it's the ground, one can be meshave gumos, one can be filling in holes. Obviously, if one's got, where one's dealing with tiled or bricked areas, then that's not an issue. And one should not scrape it on the wall because of the concern of boina as well. Can I wash it off? So if it's on leather, there's no problem, but one cannot scrape it down because leather one can wash but not rub. And if my hand is muddy, can I wipe it off? The answer is only on a rag that one does not care about. If it's on something which I do care about, it's going to be a problem because I may in the end come to wash it afterwards. So a lot of halachas that relate to cleaning, melabein. And we move to our next melacha, but this is the 15th melacha on Shabbos, which is called soveya, which is dyeing. So after the wool was cleaned, then they would dye, and a few processes were done, then there would be a process of dyeing that wool to the color that one likes it as well. How does this apply in real life? So what happens if the coloring is not permanent? So even if it's not permanent, it is still asr. There's a debate if it is prohibited midaraisa, midrabbanan, rabbinically or biblically. But nonetheless, it is prohibited even if it is temporary. What about makeup? So besides the issue of mimareach, which is spreading out a substance which is solid, there is a tzoveya issue. So this includes lipstick, eyeliner, rouge, foundation. These are the kinds of things which one is not allowed to use on Shabbos. The Rav Moshe Feinstein does point out that talcum powder is allowed because it's not considered lasting at all. And because of this, some companies have made entire ranges of makeup for Shabbos which are completely made of powder. Because of this. And they're not so good. And that's the point. They aren't lasting at all. And therefore, they're not considered a tzoveya. But it would be an issue otherwise of coloring one's face on Shabbos. What happens if my hands are dirty? May I wipe them off? One may, but one has to be careful to wipe it on a cloth that one. That one has to be careful not to wipe it on a cloth that one will color the color of, let's say, the fruit juice which is on one's hand. So one has to be careful about that, and say a white towel or cloth. What if I have blood from my nose or a cut? So one should be careful not to wipe it off on something which could be colored through it as well. The Mishnah Berurah points out that if on a towel, it's not a problem because it's ruining the towel, it's not coloring it, so it would be allowed. Now, what about sunglasses which tint in the sun? In that case, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it's not considered dyeing and it may be worn going both from inside to outside and outside to inside. Can I add saffron, which is a type of spice, which is a yellowish coloring? May I add saffron to my food? The answer is, it is a debate if there is tzoveya, if there is coloring by food. The Chaye Adam points out that there's a problem with tzoveya, of coloring, even when it comes to food. And this seems to be that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch adopts. Note, by the way, that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a few poskim that he usually follows. One of them is the Chaye Adam, Rav Danzig. However, it is worthwhile noting that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that there is no tzoveya ba'oichlim, and the Mishnah Berurah comments that this is obvious when it is the coloring is meant just for eating, not for display. So, for instance, if the saffron is going to be adding taste, which I like, to my food, then it's allowed. But if I'm doing it so it should look a particular color that it's attractive, then it's a problem with food as well. And that seems to be the accepted practice. We move to our 19th melacha. Our 19th melacha is oireg, which is weaving. By the way, note that we're skipping a lot of those more complex aspects of setting up the woof and the warp and shnei bati nirim and how the whole weaving process was. But the weaving itself, how do we encounter this on a practical basis? The Kitzur says braiding, or what's known outside of America as plaiting hair. So in that situation, one is not allowed to do it. What happens if the hair is detached from the head? So it is still aser, and this pertains to a wig, to a shetel, which is not allowed to be braided or plaited on Shabbos. How many threads need to be involved for it to be aser? Even two threads being braided or twisted in such a way is a problem. And people don't know this, and oftentimes people are just playing around with their fingers and they take little threads and they start making patterns is a problem. We're going to move now to our next melacha, and that is kosher and matir. There are a number of melachas which go in groups, which are the opposites of each other. One is to tie in this case, the other one is to untie. And these would be done in the Mishkan, where, let's say, people were to prepare the nets to catch the chilazon, a particular type of creature that lives in the sea, and to use for tcheles, the dyeing process. So this was the making knots and untying knots are considered a problem as well. It has to be shekesh or shalkem. It has to last at least a day for it to be prohibited. Let's jump straight in. What types of knots are a problem? So a professional knot, which is lasting for more than 24 hours, that is considered a problem. Today, most people don't have the faintest idea how to do a professional knot, but people do double knots, and that's a problem. Double knots last. What about a single knot? So if one takes a one string, it is a problem. So one takes one string and ties a single knot in it, that's a problem. But between two strings, let's say one's taking two strings and knotting them together, that is not a problem. When does this happen regularly? So this happens regularly when, let's say, one has a scarf around one's neck, one double knots it at the back, that's a problem. Or let's say even one ties a double knot before Shabbos, one's going to have a problem because one has to untie it on Shabbos as well. Another application which is very common is garbage bags. A lot of garbage bags have drawstrings, and you pull those drawstrings together. One may tie a single knot because that's not permanent, but a double knot is a problem. One has to be careful about that on Shabbos. What about shoelaces? So usually the way one ties one's shoelaces is one single knot and then a bow on top of it. That's usually intended to be released that day and therefore is fine. However, I have noticed that there are a lot of lazy people around and they tie their shoelaces the first time they get the shoes from the store, and from there onwards they just put their feet in and put their feet out and put their feet in. In that case, it's a kesher shel kayama and that is a problem. So don't be lazy. Tie and untie your shoelaces, and then there's no problem. What about a bunch of bows on top of each other? This is not considered permanent, so it is allowed. What about untying all these knots? So one is not allowed to untie a knot, which one is not allowed to tie on Shabbos. However, in the case of pain, one may ask a non-Jew to do this. This is called Amir La'akum, which is an Isra Darabonon, asking a non-Jew to do it. In the case of Darabonon, Mibakom Tsa'ar. So in this case, it would be allowed. Now, we move to our last couple of melachos, which are melachos Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, 23 and 24, which are Tofer and Korea, which is Tofer, which means sewing, and Korea, which means tearing apart. And this doesn't just mean with threads, it can also mean sticking things together as well. Just a quick, some practical questions. So, what if I have a thread which is loose in a garment, and it can be pulled tight to tighten up the thread? That's a problem of Tofer. So, meaning even though the thread's in there, I'm just pulling it to tighten it up, that is a problem of Tofer. What if I have pages stuck in a bencher that are stuck together because of wax or wine which are holding them together? So the Kitzur points out that technically one can separate them since they are not glued intentionally, so therefore it's not considered korea by taking them apart. However, one has to be careful not to erase letters in doing so. And the Kitzur, in one very short sieve, points out, can one break open the cover of a container which is covering, let's say, a food container? And one has a cover over it, one can rip that open. Says the Kitzur, that is allowed. Now, it's worthwhile noting that it's not so simple, because the Kisser is referring to something which is called choslos, which is like sort of a cover which is meant to be ripped open in that situation. But it is important to know that opening containers on Shabbos generally can involve many different melachas. So it can involve soyser, destroying, boiner, building a kli through this, asiyas pesach, which is considered makev patish, finishing a kli, korea, ripping, mechatech, precise cutting, and moichek, erasing, because of letters involved. So there's six different potential melachas to be involved in opening any kli on Shabbos, and one has to be very careful as to understanding this as well. So it's not so simple as the Kitzur presents it, and it's worthwhile looking into these different things. Generally speaking, it's best to open things before Shabbos. So cereal boxes, cereal packets, orange juice bottles, or wine bottles, soda cans. There's a lot of things that one needs to ask this question about, and there's different melachas relating to each of them. And it's best to do a lot of the opening before Shabbos to avoid many of the concerns which relate to this. With this, we're going to conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful